Blog Talk Radio.
People will take that exclusivity and run with it and be like, yo, you know, I finally found a person that's perfect for me. I finally found the one who will give me exactly what I want in my life and in my world. This is what I've been looking for my whole life. And some people will say, oh, so you don't have no other options, no other choices. You got to come to me? Well, tell you what. Well, we're going to look at some situations where that's a good thing, and we're going to look at some situations where it's not such a good thing, the pitfalls. So let's get it popping. T. Carrie, right, morning, noon, and night. It's always good to have my people going directly into this site. Urban Therapy with Sun, Sun 752. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun show. We do this every single Sunday from 11 a.m. till around 12:30-ish. And the reason that we say 12:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Sunday. And it is Sunday. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight, go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way the universe projects us into this thing called the world and our lives, and try to figure out how we navigate our way through this thing called life. We play on the monkey bars and in the sandbox and push each other up the sliding board and on the swing. I am your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. It is the Daily That. It is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Pardon me. I mean, I got to get into my weekend groove. Got to get into my weekend groove, and everything is going to be all right. Got a lot to prove. I'm going to soothe you just like a pill, and you think I won't, but I exclusively will. So we're talking about the pitfalls of being the one and only. When you make somebody your one and only, what they say, what the old heads say, it's a lonely rat that only has one hole, something like that. But we're not talking about, okay, all right, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do, because I'm going to have to break it down. I'm going to have to break it on down and do this thing right. So we're going to talk about when loyalty goes bad. We're going to talk about when being faithful goes bad. We're going to talk about when people abuse your kindness and your exclusivity. We're going to talk about when making somebody your one and only is not the greatest thing to do. It's not the best choice to make because they have abused it. That's what we're going to talk about today on the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. So strap up. Get ready, baby. We going to do the damn thing. We queens and kings, and everything is going to be all right. Yeah, I sing that. My man Ja Big says, I got a recap from what I missed. Women don't apologize. They tell which blame to avoid. See, I needed y'all yesterday. Then, you know what I mean, get into that whole thing. But it's okay. You know what I mean? And I appreciate me some you. You my dude. Thanks for coming on by. Thanks for coming on through. The pitfall of being the one and only. You know, like, you take a marriage. A marriage, you're supposed to have one woman, one husband. I'm sorry. One wife, one husband in a monogamous conventional marriage. You know, we're not talking about, you know, taking the Mormon route, and or a certain sect of Muslims where you can have more than one spouse. We're not talking about a concubine. We're not talking about a polygamous situation. So in a monogamous marriage, you know, one wife, one husband, y'all supposed to be there for each other. Y'all help each other out. Y'all build your family. It's the foundation of the family. And it doesn't matter what family you're talking about, of any race, any ethnic background, any color, any creed, any culture. So a man is not supposed to have sex or have any close personal dealings with any other woman except for his wife. And a wife is supposed to do the same thing. A wife is supposed to be there for her man, make sure that, you know, she only has sex with her man, take care of him, take care of the household, help raise the kids, basically lay down the foundation and keep fostering the upward mobility of the family. Raise these babies and teach them the right way. Now, we know that in marriage, things break down. Things don't go the way that they're supposed to sometimes. Sometimes, in some marriages, some people do not honor the vows of their marriage. And one of the agreements of marriage is that, you know, to have and to hold. Don't covet thy neighbor or whatever. In other words, you don't be running across the street or around the corner, you know what I mean, getting your man ate up by Susie Q. And, you know, your wife ain't supposed to be messing around with the mechanic or to some other repairman, mailman, or somebody else in uniform that ain't got no business touching all on your sortie. That's your wife and shit, and you entered in the holy matrimony with your wife, and she's sneaking around with some old suck-ass nigga in a uniform, some old cop-ass nigga, some old mailman-ass nigga, some old UPS delivery ass, suck ass nigga. Anyway. But you know, sometimes it happens that way. You know, people in a committed relationship, and particularly a marriage, aren't faithful to each other. They aren't exclusive to each other. They haven't even tried. Some of them. I know plenty of people who have gone into a marriage and they was cheating from day one. They carried over all of their infidelity from when they was just going with each other or engaged right into their marriage, never missing a beat. It might have been like the only time they didn't cheat was when they was on the honeymoon. Yeah, I got to go on this honeymoon. I'll be back. And as soon as I get back, you know what it is. We'll be back in the saddle. And I don't know about y'all, but I have seen those situations where your side joint know that you're getting married. And she might not be okay with it, but she going to be okay with the outcome because it's going down the way it's going down. And can't nobody stop it. And you in love with your side joint and your side joint is in love with you. Yes. There are plenty of side chicks that are in love and where the man who's married or going with somebody else is in love with them. So all of that bullshit that people be talking about how side chicks don't get this and they don't get that, it's a lie. It's a straight up lie. I can tell you firsthand experience, that's a lie. There are plenty of times where you like your side chick more than you like your wife or your girl. It happens. It happens. It shouldn't happen, but it happens. But we're going to talk about this marriage. So what happens when the disloyal, unfaithful person is dealing with somebody who is loyal and faithful? Now, the loyal and the faithful person has made the disloyal and unfaithful person their one and only. It's only you. It's all about you, boo. I don't care what we go through. I'm never leaving you, and I'm never cheating on you, and I'm never leaving you behind. You are the best one that I can find. Until the good Lord says no more, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be your bitch and your whore or whatever you call me, but you'll see that I'm going to show you the highest level of loyalty. And even though you don't deserve that, boy, I don't care. Everybody got their own problems, and we're going to do our best with each other to solve them. I'm going to wait you out. We're going to go to counseling. I'm going to do whatever I've got to do. I'm your friend. Well, what's the title of this show? What's the title of this show? Damn. Colon ring my pants. The title of the show is the pitfalls of being the one and only. See, somebody knew that you were loyal and somebody knew that you were faithful. And so they had no problems with going out and snaking around you because they knew that you would stay the course. They knew that you would stay loyal. They knew that you would stay true. So they are abusing your relationship and abusing your love and abusing your trust because they know that you ain't going nowhere. They know that you ain't going nowhere. And the illest part about it is, it's true. You ain't going nowhere. You cold shut. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to mean this. I don't care what happens in your life or who you deal with in your life. Just because other people can do some things and get away with some things and seem to be able to sleep like a baby after doing those things that you would never dream of, don't let that influence you. Don't let that encourage you. Don't let those things change you. A lot of times we see everybody else doing something and all of a sudden we get into the monkey see, monkey do type of mentality. Nah, you ain't got to do that. You ain't got to do that. If being the way that you have been, being loyal, being faithful, being exclusive, being trustworthy, if that makes you feel good about yourself, why would you let anybody change that? I would encourage you to keep it up. I would encourage you to stay the course. Just because some people can do bad, can do evil, can
can be deceptive and lie all the time and steal and cheat and all the time. That don't have nothing to do with you. That doesn't have anything to do with you. Being negative takes a toll on your mentality. I would say don't go that route. That ain't for you. Everything ain't for everybody. Ain't that what our moms always taught us? Everything ain't for everybody. Well, being deceptive, being a liar, being a cheater might not be for you, but it might be for somebody else who you are romantically and directly linked with. So what you going through, it's supposed to be one and a two, but it turns into a three and a four, and if they get the chance, they're going to add on one more. My brother from another mother, Norris Hill, sit back, relax, do your thing, Max and chill. Good to see you coming through, my brother, no doubt. Thanks for coming on through. Thanks for coming on out. We are talking about the pitfalls of being the one and only. What can go wrong when you declare somebody to be your one and only? When you show somebody that you love them, you are faithful to them, and you depend on them. Sometimes people abuse that shit, and it can mess you up for a long time, son. You know what I'm talking about? You know, when you have done right by somebody, and somebody deliberately does wrong by you, it can have such a long-lasting effect on the way that you deal with people going forward, and it's not fair to you, and it's not fair to the people who you have just met, who don't have a history with you, and who don't have the negative intentions that somebody that you were with had for all of that time, and you allowed them. And when I say you allowed them, I'm not saying that it's your fault. Listen, man, when you put your love and trust in somebody, you put your influence. I'm sorry. You put their influence in you. And you know how it is, y'all. You know how it is when, even though you know the negative parts of somebody, you still got love for them and you still hold it down for them. You know what I'm talking about. You know, it's sort of like when a child is young. Children always look for the good in you. It's not until we are all emotionally and mentally scarred when we grow up, when we start looking for the bad in people and start being suspicious of people's motives. But when we're young, we see all of the good. It don't have to be about shit. Yo, such and such know how to jump off the top step. Such and such know how to hang jump from the second floor. Such and such know how to jump real high. Such and such can shoot baskets, catch a football, outrun everybody. They know how to rap, sing, whatever. Children look for the good. And sometimes we don't lose our childish, immature, friendly, loyal, and positive outlook on people. Even when we know that they a little bit ain't shit. They ain't all the way ain't shit, but they a little bit ain't shit. So you may have had a family member or a friend or a lover or somebody that you admired who you always managed to see the good in, who you always managed to be like, nah, they all right. They all right. It could be the smallest thing, y'all. It could be the smallest thing. How many of y'all have been involved with somebody who talked with a certain slang that you picked up? You start using their slang because it was kind of cool. Like such and such, I got such and such. I got that from such and such. You know, they always say this. They always say that.
regardless of the fact that this person steal all the time, lie all the time, cheat all the time. We ain't talking about that right now. Something about them, something about the way they walk. I'm sorry, walk, talk, express themselves, attracts you. And so you choose to concentrate on that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. The only thing that can be wrong with it is the fact that it may not be something that's really conducive to, you know, you seeing what that person's true motives are on the negative side, and it keeps coming back to bite you in the ass. Yeah, that part. Yeah, that part. So in a spousal or committed relationship, that can be one of those areas where being the one and only can come with a whole set of pitfalls, a whole set of problems. We got problems, Houston. Yes, we do. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. Please, y'all know that I need y'all to come through and be down with the crew and raise these numbers to a high level. We hang around with the gods, never the devil. 5% of the earth, we are the track stars, and we go far. We take it there. They can't come along and sing this song. Please hit the like button, share the show, subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. And if you would like to call into the show, I invite you to call into the show. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said a 319-527-6199. Yes, 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 y'all. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. 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 319-527-6199, baby. It is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. If you choose to call in, express yourself, ask a question, make a statement, tell a story, dispute what you got to dispute, say what you got to say. Press number one and that will let me know that you would like to speak, and then I will call you out by the last four digits of your telephone number. You can rock out, rock on and do the damn thing. Okay, my brother from another mother, Norris Hill, says, I like to keep it a buck since listening to the show. That's what's up. Keep it a buck. Okay. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. You know, people say a certain slang or phrase or whatever, and you pick up on it. You might pick up on it, like find yourself saying it. You might even ask yourself, like, why the hell am I saying this shit? When you expose to somebody a lot, it's going to happen. I don't care who it is either. You're like, parents do it with their kids. You know kids do it with their parents, but parents do it with their kids. To this day, I call my sister, her name is Shell, not Michelle, Shell, S-C-H-E-L-L. To this day, and in my phone, I call her Dell. You know why I call her Dell? Because when my nephew was about 4 or 5 years old, you know how sometimes children will call their parents by their first name because they hear everybody else doing it. So when he was crying about some shit, he called his mom. He told himself, Dale! Dale! He called himself telling on me. Dale! Dale! I was like, Dale? So to this day, my sister's name is Dale. I ain't called her Shell, and I ain't called her Shell since probably like 1983. I mean, I'm sorry. He was born in 85. 87, 88. Dell, and she's used to me calling her Dell. And I wonder if she remembers why. You know what? You know what?
She gonna start bitching. I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna call her. I'm gonna call her. I'm gonna call her. I'm gonna call her.
Subscriber's request, this phone does not accept incoming calls. Message SF20.
She might have that shit blocked. Hold on. Make sure I turn down right now. Make sure I'm down right now. Make sure I'm get this, get it together. And yeah, I do. I do have a number memorized. Hold on. All right. Yeah, I think that's what I messed that up. We're going to try it again. Now, keep in mind, my sister's a little shy, so she might be bitching. See, this number comes up. So she probably ain't going to answer that shit. I don't blame her. I wouldn't either.
Hello?
Dale.
But why you calling me from crazy numbers?
Just calm down for a second. I need to tell you something before you start going crazy.
Okay.
All right. First of all, I'm on my show right now. But the subject was you. So
me?
Because I was talking about why I call you Dell instead of Shell. Do you remember why?
I don't know why.
You don't remember?
No.
Okay.
Look, I'm almost 60. Don't be asking me why you call me Dell.
The reason I call you Dell is because when Khalid was about two or three, he called himself he would call himself telling on me Adidas when he would do something and we would get on him. He would he would try to call you by your first name, and instead of Shell, it came out Dell.
Okay.
And I thought it was cute. So from then, since like around 1987, 88, that's why I've been calling you Dell.
Okay.
That makes sense. If you remember that. Because you'll never correct me.
I don't, because it's just, you've been calling me that for so long.
Yeah.
It just fits.
Okay. Well, that's the reason. So everybody just heard you not remember.
Okay. I'm old. I cannot remember.
Okay. All right. It's all good. Love you, big sis.
Love you too, bro.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Well, how about that? I thought she remembered. But you know what? What might have happened was over the years, she probably forgot. Like she said, I've been calling her that for so long that she just like, well, it's like whatever. But yeah. So when you are around a person a lot, you're going to start using their slangs. You're going to start using their little, if they talk with a lisp, you might talk with a lisp. If they have pronounced something wrong, you might start pronouncing it wrong. It's not even mocking them or dissing them or anything like that, but these are the things that can happen when you are exposed to somebody a lot and when you're hanging out with them. So I'm saying all that to say this. When you make somebody your one and only, when you make somebody exclusive, when you are loyal to somebody, when you're faithful to somebody, if they abuse that privilege that you have given them, and don't get it fucked up, that's a high privilege. That's not something to be messed around with or played with
or not taken seriously. It's a big deal. When you have decided to be loyal to somebody, when you have decided to be exclusive with somebody, and when you have decided to be faithful to somebody, but they haven't decided to do the same things for you, they may treat you in a good way, and then they may abuse that privilege. You have given them a privilege. You have given them a status that you probably don't give to each and every person, but you've given them to that. And I mean, you've given that to them. And this can be one of the pitfalls of being the one and only. Yeah. This can be one of the pitfalls of being the one and only. You have made them your one and only, and they know that. They know that you're going to be faithful. You're going to stay the course. You're going to depend on them, and you're not going to go anywhere else. You're not going to test the market. So imagine what businesses do when they know that they're the only game in town. When they know that they're the only game in town. Speaking of the only game in town, when I was doing comedy, and I used to work out at a place called the Laugh House, and the people from Philly know what the Laugh House was. The Laugh House folded in 2013. But I remember somewhere around 2004, 2005, I remember the managers of the Laugh House saying, "We're the only game in town." And I remember looking at him like, What he meant by being the only game in town was that he was, the Laugh House was the only exclusive comedy club in the city. And he was right. Were they the only place that put on comedy? No. We had a city full of promoters. I had my own room. And there was the Comedy Cabaret out in the Northeast. But the Comedy Cabaret out in the Northeast is not an exclusive comedy club. It's a banquet hall that they make into, or that they use for comedy events. The year after he said that shit, then Helium came to town in 2005 and shook things up. So he wasn't the only game in town. Now, unfortunately, when he was talking about being the only game in town, he knew that all of the comedians had to depend on him. He knew that that you wasn't going to really go nowhere and foster your career not messing with these independent promoters and all of that. They could do a little something to you. And I kind of resented the fact that he felt like he held the key. He felt like he held the key to all of our careers. Now, plenty of people who who used to call the Laugh House their home and who got started at the Laugh House went on to have really great careers, like Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart started at the Laugh House. It was the only game in town. But one thing is for sure, the Laugh House did not make Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart was built to make it from day one, and he made sure that he did. So him saying that we're the only game in town gave him the green light to make or break comedians that had talent. So like, yeah, we can treat you good and we can treat you like shit. Because you ain't got nowhere else you can go. He was wrong, but he was right at the same time. I see that we have a caller on the line. Caller with the last numbers, 4828. I'm going to bring you on right now-ish. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you for calling in. What's on your mind this morning? Afternoon.
Good morning. How are you? Well, good afternoon. How are you?
Like a real man should. Good to see you. Hey. Have you here?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I didn't catch all of the show, so I'm, just getting bits and pieces. It was kind of on in the background. you just said something about somebody making you, you know, basically exclusive. I had this guy who, I mean, we weren't even serious. You know, one of those things where we were attracted to each other and we hadn't even really gone out on a date. We were just kind of like talking on the phone. The next thing I know, he made me his one and only, kind of like trying to take me off the market. And I didn't know what to do with that because he, you know, he wasn't mine. Yeah, you know, I was like, I don't know who needs to hear this, but this is kind of one-sided. Like, what do you do when somebody decides that you are their one and only, and you guys have not had that conversation about exclusivity, you know? And it's not that you don't like the person. You're like, yeah, I dig you. I wasn't there yet. And now they're trying to take you off the market. They're telling people that, you know, yeah, we're together. Like, he was actually telling people, this is my girl.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Well,
you know, well, let me ask this. By him making you his one and only, do you feel like you not accepting that readily? Wait a minute. Did you let him know that you didn't accept that, or did you kind of wait?
Oh, I did.
Okay.
Oh, no. I said, he's not. I couldn't just allow him to say that, you know, because then I couldn't be out doing whatever I do, you know, because we live in the same city. And then people would be like, I can't believe you, you know, aren't you with John? And I'm like, I'm not with John. But I did, you know, I did say, hey, John, like, this is, nah.
Dear John.
Well, I mean, of all the names, but I'm just saying, I did say something. I said something right away. I was like, can I holler at you for a minute? Okay, great. And then, you know, I hollered.
Okay, so how did he feel about when you set the record straight?
When I was trying to shut it down?
Yeah.
Well, he's a Leo, so he was like, I want what I want.
Wait a minute. Wait. This story sucks. Not gonna lie. Go ahead. What did you say?
Well, I have, you know, for whatever reason, they love me. And you know, it's been like this my whole life. But, so he was like, I want what I want. And, you know, you know, you feeling me, I'm feeling you. I don't see what the problem is. If you're feeling me and I'm feeling you, then me saying that we're a couple shouldn't be a problem. And I was like, it's a problem because we've only been talking, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. Like, where are you getting this from, bro? And he was just like, oh, okay, 2 or 3 weeks. But if you know what it is that you want, I don't see the problem. Did we even talk about this? You know, so he wasn't even trying to hear no. He was like, he literally gave me a hug. He was like, it's okay. And then walked away, and I was looking around like, I can't believe what's happening right now.
Really? So do you think that he took your rejection of him making you his one and only, do you think that he looked at that as you snubbing him? Like, oh, okay, it was, could that even be described or termed as a rejection? Because he didn't give you the courtesy, you know, he didn't extend the courtesy of at least getting an agreement or making sure that you liked them that way.
Right.
What do you think was going through his mind? Was he just trying to?
I don't know. See, the thing is that he knew I liked him. Like, we liked each other. So, and there was really, you know, there was definitely a physical attraction, although we hadn't done anything. But he did not feel snubbed until I said it in front of, you know, his, like, other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like family and.
Oh, okay.
Then he was like, oh. So he didn't take it seriously. He thought I was playing hard to get, I believe. That's what I kind of like grinning when I was like, well, you know, we didn't discuss this. This is not where we are. Let's see where things go, you know. And he had this silly little grin on his face. It was all fun and games until I said it in front of family. Then that's when he took it seriously, and he did feel rejected, and he did not respond well.
Yeah, that's a tough situation because he was actually in violation, but I'm sure that he probably looked at you as a looking the gift horse in the mouth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little different because I don't know, and maybe you can clear that up. I don't know if he had declared himself exclusive to you, loyal to you, faithful to you. I don't know if he cleared out his Rolodex or his black book or you know, his contact list, you know, to make room for you, whatever. So if he had done those types of things, I guess he could only really be mad if he had full knowledge that you were messing with somebody else, creeping with somebody else, doing the same things with somebody else that you were doing with him, as if he didn't matter. And even then, I'm not sure if I would consider him to be right about that. But from the perspective of him, he probably felt some type of way about it. But I don't think he could say that it was the result or the product of him making you his one and only. Do you know if you were his one and only?
I believe I was. I believe I was.
And he wasn't getting no ass nowhere, huh?
Mm-mm. It's not like he can't, because he definitely can.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
yeah, that sounds like a tough situation for him. Sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks because it except for the fact that he sort of spent the lottery money before he won it.
Well, that's a good one.
Remember on Martin when he thought he won the lottery?
Yeah.
And he went out and bought all that stuff and all that. He was flossing all hard. And he only had that little bit of money. He had to return everything and everything. That's sort of like...
That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That's the perfect description. You know.
So yeah. So his downfall was of his own volition. So he can't really say that was the pitfall of making somebody, you know, the one and only, because he didn't have to do that and probably shouldn't. Well, in hindsight, he definitely shouldn't, but at the time, he probably should have gave it a little bit more foresight. Let me ask you this, though. Do you think that his ego got involved and he declared you his girl, thinking that was a good thing for you? Like, look, you get to be with me.
Well, yeah, Leos are like that anyway, so... They feel like they're a prize.
I'm sorry, I got to shut your mic off. Something was wrong with the mic. Yeah, so like I was asking whoever this caller, you know, we're trying to clarify if maybe he thought that he was doing her a favor by, you know, declaring her his girl or whatever, like, you know, like you definitely, you know, like the old UTFO song, you cold wanna be with me, you know. But I don't think she understood the question. Let me see if the caller's still there. Hello? Caller? Are you still?
Yeah. I definitely believe that he thought he thought that he was a prize, and you know, it's not that he's not a prize, though. It, I mean, he is a prize, but, you know, certain things take time and communication and you know, like,
he's a prize,
expectations.
But he's not a prize.
Yeah, it was just too much. And, you know, I've had people, well, I shouldn't say people. I've had someone who, you know, and this I hear this story a lot, mostly from men more often speak about it openly, but, you know, you have sex with somebody and they like, oh, you my boyfriend now, or you my girlfriend now, because y'all had sex, and now they've unlocked you down in their mind, and they're living their lives like as if y'all are a couple, and you are now their one and only because you hit it, and don't, God forbid, you hit it, you know, you did a good job at whatever y'all did.
Yeah. Communication is paramount.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe sometimes in some people's heads, they think that they have communicated their intentions and their expectations clearly when they actually clearly have not done that. You know what I mean? Cause problems down the line. I don't think that there's anything wrong with making sure that two people are on the same page before you start to bust a move. I don't think there's anything wrong with making sure that y'all two are good to go.
Right.
But if I can I flip the scenario a little bit or go to another scenario?
Of course.
Because, you know, earlier in the show, I started talking about how some of these businesses who know that you don't, like I was talking about the Laugh House and how they were saying, how the managers, the general management there was talking about that they were the only game in town. They're not the only business to take advantage of a situation where they have a monopoly or a perceived monopoly. You know, when other businesses usurp up all the smaller business, like if a big conglomerate or a big box store, something like a Home Depot, swallows up all of the local hardware stores, you know, they don't have to offer good prices anymore, you know? So them being the one and only, and you can't go to Bob's Hardware or Jake's Lumber or anymore to get your products, or it's so hard for them to buy in bulk, the same kind of bulk that a big box store like Home Depot does, that you wind up having to overpay so much just to help a small business stay in business or stay afloat. Meanwhile, eventually the big box store wins. And then they don't have, and initially they were offering all of these really low prices, which was beating out these little mom and pop or local hardware stores or local stores of any kind, because they usurped up the hardware stores and the electrical supply stores and the plumbing supply stores and the lumber yards. So now they're the only game in town. They're the one and only. So they can charge whatever they want to charge.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to go? You need a sheet of sheetrock. Where are you going to go?
Mm-hmm.
You need a sheet of a plywood for flooring. Where are you going to go? You know, there aren't even any more paint stores. Remember MAB paint?
Mm-hmm.
And MAB had the best paint. That paint will cover. One stroke, it covered. You know, so what happened to MAB? They got rid of MAB.
Now you got to go to Home Depot. I don't know if that paint is any good. It's all right. What is that shit, Glidden or Bear? Right? You basically have to know what you're paying for. At MAB, I worked with that paint for years. Go to MAB. I knew you can either get the one cover paint or the two cover paint. The two cover paint, you knew that if you were rolling white over red, that you were probably going to have to use a second coat. But if you chose the one coat, it wouldn't care if it was red or psychedelic fluorescent. One coat, it was covering it. No need for a second coat. That's how good the paint was. You don't know if you're getting that kind of stuff. And I don't mean to harp on, I don't mean to come at big box stores, but it fits the narrative of what we're talking about when we start talking about the pitfalls of being the one and only.
Mm-hmm.
When we allow businesses to become the one and only, then we get fucked. Look at what happened this week with Facebook. Look what happened.
The whole world stopped.
Mm-hmm. They shut down for half a day and rocked everybody's door.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to you just now, and for a second, when you first started talking about the big box stores, I thought you were equating the big box stores to like IG hoes and IG models. All of the chicks looking the same with the same Brazilian butt lifts and fake titties, and the traditional, the woman with traditional views being the mom and pop stores. Just for a second, when you were talking, I was wondering if you were equating
an equational scheme. Nah, no. Nope. I was actually talking about exactly what it is. This time. But yeah, as we foster on with this topic, I just want everybody to see how sometimes loyalty, faithfulness, exclusivity, sometimes it can go wrong. It can go bad when the person who is being shown the loyalty, the faithfulness, and the exclusivity is ambitious in a negative way. So they want to take advantage. They want to take unfair advantage of the loyalty, faithfulness, and exclusivity you have granted them. That's basically what we're talking about. Jobs do it too. When employers know, or they think that the market is closed to their advantage, whereas, they know you can't just go and get another job, or they know that they have created a situation where you would be discouraged from going to look for another job, either because of the work conditions, the location, or the pay that they are giving you. So they think that they have pigeonholed you or painted you into a corner to work for them. And sometimes it works. A lot of times it works. Looking for a job is a job in and of itself, and it can be thankless. And most people, that's why most people try to stay where they are at a job, because getting to know new people, new bosses, new systems, and new culture, and all of that stuff, it can be discouraging.
Mm-hmm. Especially during this pandemic, you found a lot of jobs doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Making you feel like you lucky to have a job or whatever. And if you believe them, if you feed into that, if you allow them to influence you in that direction, you'll be right there saying the same thing. I'm just happy to be working. I'm happy to have a job. Well, if we didn't see anything in 2020 that we could draw from in a positive way, 2020 showed us that we could make more money not working than working. Sure, it was a temporary situation, but we sure did see it. If there was any time to get your entrepreneurial spirit popping off, it was 2020. Who was selling masks before 2020? Independent contractors made a lot of money doing that shit. Masks, accessories, matching masks and belts and shit like that. They made the best of it. So, unfortunately, some people didn't catch on to that freedom of being financially independent. They didn't catch on to it. So they was just happy to get back to work. Get back to the get back to the dependence of making sure that check is there every other week or every week or however you get paid. This is One thing about people who work multiple jobs, they get it. They may not have the entrepreneurial spirit, but they definitely have the contractual spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, I got one job, I got two jobs, I got three jobs. One job might pay me more than the other two, but guess what? If the big one fires me, the other two, I can get some more hours. You understand what I mean? So there's a mentality there. There's a mentality that, like, no, you ain't the only one who pays me. I have three streams of income, two or three streams of income just from working. And I can hustle. If I can push my body to work that many jobs and that many hours, I can sell some cakes, pies, masks, dinners on the weekend.
Yep.
Would you say flyers?
I said platters.
Platters, yeah, platters. Or if you did say flyers, you know, we used to have to go to the printing press to get flyers made. People know how to do that shit right there online. Sell online flyers, design flyers. Bottom line is there are some businesses, there are some people, there are some factions who will abuse your granting of exclusivity to them.
And so what's the next move? What's the next move when you realize that that person, that business, that job is abusing? That exclusivity? What's the next move?
In a romantic situation, I think that you have to make a decision. I think you have to make a decision of confrontation. You know, you have to let a person know that either you're not going for it or that you don't like it or that they're going to have to make a change or you're going to make one. The choice is theirs. Now, they may not believe you. And they may get all stinky and pissy when you give them that ultimatum that you have every right to give them. You know, but they're going to – you have to put – See, once a person has made a decision for themselves, you're going to have to get them to make a decision for the both of you if your situation involves both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in that situation, you may have to decide that my exclusivity to you has been terminated. It may not be terminated because I'm going to do what you do because I'm not impressed by what you do or influenced by what you do. But I think I'm going to give that loyalty, that exclusivity, that faithfulness to somebody who will put a little stickum on that football and keep it. You know what I'm saying? Instead of fumbling it all over the place and turning it over. I don't You know, in business, we have to let these businesses know. No. Even if there aren't any other stores or businesses where we can get exactly what you're selling, I think we're going to build some. You know, people don't think about it a lot, but these flea markets, these swap meets and shit, they are valuable. They are invaluable. Yeah. People don't understand what that shit means.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. You know, if we could get the flea markets and the swap meets popping a little bit more on a higher level, to whereas they don't have to sell bootleg or whatever. Because I've been to vendors at flea markets that sold the good shit.
Well, now they have, you know, the online version, like Facebook Marketplace. It still is it's like being at a flea market.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But at a flea market, you take your shit home that day.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
you know.
The thing is, at least with flea markets, you have the value and the advantage of FaceTime. Like Marketplace, OfferUp, and, you know, North Philly for sale. You know, these are some of the ones. Anyway.
Right.
You know, like, if you're not going to go pick it up with this person, you know, if you're depending on them to ship it to you, I know I get a little wary. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I know that for, like, eBay, I trust eBay. Because eBay will step in and pay you if shit really goes left. You know what I mean? But because they got PayPal. So you have some type of insurance that you're going to get what you paid for. Whereas
Marketplace has insurance.
Okay, that's cool. You know,
but my point was that it's an invaluable, still an invaluable tool, in comparison to going to big box stores and just, you know, keeping the money within you know, our own hands.
Yeah. Y'all may be the only face of the products that you sell, but no, we can get it from somewhere else, and we can get it from somewhere else a little bit cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little. It might be a little hard to. Man, no, actually, it's not. I was about to say, like, I know contractors that are able to get, you know, big slabs of sheetrock and shit. I don't know if they steal it. I don't know what they do. I don't care. Right? You know?
You know? I don't care either.
We built this house literally on rock and roll. Literally. Exclusivity can have its finer points, because listen, when you are faithful to somebody, when you're loyal to somebody, when you're exclusive to somebody, it's supposed to make them and you feel good about your union, good about your association, good about your attachment, good about your connection. It's supposed to, you know, let everybody know that, nah, this is our thing. La Cosa Nostra, this thing of ours. Like, I can depend on this person and lean on this person and go to this person for guidance when any and all other things fail. But when you see somebody, you know, basically giving you the secondhand citizen treatment, when you've given them the best customer award treatment, like, oh, man, you know, so yeah, there can be times in personal, in your personal life, family life, and business life where making them the one and only sends the wrong message to them.
Yep, especially in a job situation. For me, you know, when I felt like my job was taken advantage, because they do that, it's like, oh, you know, try to make you feel like you're lucky to be with us and we have all these advantages. And I had to say, okay, that's true. Great advantages. Thanks. But you're taking your employees for granted. And because of that, you know, I need to remind you of how valuable my skill set is outside of this building. like out there in the real world, personal skill sets are worth way more than what you're paying me,
mm-hmm.
and so much more than how you're treating me. So in a job situation for me, I have learned over the years that if you are not going to value what I bring to the table, like, you know how in your cover sheet it's like, oh, and I believe I will be a valuable asset to your, you know. No, I'm dead ass serious when I say that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not going to see that and treat me as such, then I will go someplace that will. I will go work for a company that will say and treat me and pay me as if they see me. So that's my response to, you know, them being a one and only and not being grateful for it at a job.
You know how jobs encourage you to keep your salary a secret, and most people fall in line with it, but they can't require you to do it. Like, they can't fire you for telling somebody how much you make, but they really, really openly discourage you doing that.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if they didn't do it? What if everybody's salary was public record? How do you think they would handle that?
Well, when you work in education in Pennsylvania, your salary is public record.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of positions in education are unionized, though. So with union jobs, everybody knows how much everybody makes. But in private business, where there's no where they aren't unionized, you kind of see the good old boy salary versus the who the fuck is you salary. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
You'll clearly see who's working for nothing and who's busting and who is doing nothing and getting everything. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
But we so busy trying to make sure nobody's counting the money in our pockets, we might be fucking ourselves.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to pretend like I'm making as much as these people. But no. Nah. Now, in banks, they... When I worked in the bank years ago, they had the salary grade thing. So you kind of knew people's pay range by what grade their salary was in. I don't know if they still do that. I bet they probably do. You know. And I don't know if the grade directly pinpoints what they make. Or if they, mm-hmm. if they get like a raise or a promotion, do they have to record the grade? Right.
I don't know. My job has a salary schedule, so it's like starts at a certain place, and if you have a degree, then you start at a different place, and it, depending on how long you've been there, you get another place. Either way, once you find out how long somebody's been there and which degree they have, you can pretty much guess where they are on that salary schedule. Not more than guess where they are on the salary schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas prior to them having a salary schedule, they could pretty much do, they were paying people whatever the hell they wanted to pay.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't cute.
And that's my point. Yeah. That's the problem right there. You know, and you just said it. It wasn't cute. Like, so if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that people who weren't pulling their weight was getting all of the money, and the people that were busting the ass was getting nothing, getting peanuts. Peanuts, I tell you. Peanuts.
That's exactly what it was. Yep.
Mm.
And they were paying people who lived in certain areas. So we span the entire state, but they gave higher salaries out in the Pittsburgh area than they did the Philadelphia area, even though our cost of living is higher and everybody in the Philadelphia and Harrisburg area had better credentials. So we had more, we were more educated, we had more, we were more experienced, but they gave everybody out Pittsburgh 25 to 50% more than what we were getting, which was, and that's probably why they didn't want anybody talking about salary. But once we started talking about salary, we were like, I'm sorry, what? And so it became a really, really big issue. You had people leaving. A union was formed. It was a really big issue. The Department of Labor was called. So,
Let me ask you this: if you have any information, it seems to me that Philadelphia being the biggest city in the state of Pennsylvania, for some reason, that seems more of a curse than a gift, because we always get the least amount of benefits. We get shitted on constantly. We pay higher taxes than anybody else in the state. Our privileges, our educational system is always having to go to Harrisburg and beg. You just said that they was giving money to the people on the west side of Pennsylvania. And a lot of people over here on this side of Pennsylvania don't really realize the advantages that the west side seem to have. And I don't care or know whether it's because it's more suburban or because they have better government, the local government or whatever the case may be. It doesn't make any sense that the city that drives this state, and there's no doubt that the way that Philly goes is the way that Pennsylvania goes. There's no doubt about that, especially politically, that we're treated the way that we are. So what I wanted to ask you is, do you have any knowledge of any other major cities that have that type of phenomenon that Philadelphia has? Do the five boroughs in New York get shitted on versus Albany and Schenectady?
No. Mm-mm.
Does Newark get shitted on, versus Gloucester County? Yeah.
Well, Newark ain't shit, but yeah.
Okay, Camden.
I actually like Camden better than Newark.
I heard people say that. Like,
really?
We're Camden over.
Listen, I will take Camden all day, every day, crackheads and all. But way before I would ever take Newark.
Listen, hold on. Just before you go on, if this is a fight, and Camden came out to be the winner, I want to see what the other guy looks like. You can't do what you're doing. Like, he gotta be fucked. He gotta be hospitalized. There ain't no way he can just bandage himself up if Camden beat him. So now, what were you saying?
I almost answered no until I thought about Wilmington.
I think
Wilmington. Yeah. Wilmington has added a lot of commerce to the state, but they still get a bad rap. They still get shitted on, They still get talked about like they're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're driving commerce in that entire state, of Delaware. I mean, not that Delaware is that big, but they really are.
Delaware has a lot of new development, housing development, but ain't a whole lot of businesses going out there. They got some strip malls.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They got some Home Depots, some Lowe's and shit like that. But yeah,
all the businesses are in Wilmington.
Yeah.
Mm. But they piss on Wilmington. They really do. But Wilmington, Philadelphia, I'm trying to think.
It must be because of Wilmington's high Irish population. I mean, what else could it be?
Yeah, that...
That's it. Those damn Irish. Oh, fighting Irish.
Yeah. My problem with Philly is, like, we know that we drive the state, you know, and like, we're not doing anything about how they shit on us.
Yeah, because one of the reasons, in the 2015 election, I had a chance to talk to Milton Street. And Milton Street is the brother of John Street, who was a two-term mayor of Philadelphia. Pretty close to the best mayor we've had, in my opinion. But anyway, he was a straight G. But Milton Street was saying, yeah, we always getting shitted on in Harrisburg because we don't have anybody to go up to Harrisburg and put it down the way that it's supposed to be put down. To stop taking these scraps and to lay out what we bring to the table versus, you know, like stop acting like we the loser or the redheaded stepchild instead of the driving force of the state.
Right.
It made nothing but sense to me because he was dropping the real that day. He was giving it up like, nah, you know, this is the problem. You know, when we go into Harrisburg, we kissing ass instead of kicking it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yep. You know, oh, please, can you help us? Please, can you do what we need? Please, you mind giving us a hand? What are you talking about?
Especially when it comes to education. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. But in Harrisburg, they know that it's a bunch of black people living in Philadelphia, so they just basically sacrifice it. They just shitting. Mm-hmm. Y'all want to stop the city? Y'all got one? Like, we didn't get it by reproduction. We got it by white flight. Y'all left, we mm-hmm. stayed. You know what I mean?
And now they're coming back.
Huh?
Now they're coming back. Then. I said, now they're coming
back. Gentrifying and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Gentrified City Hall. City Hall was all black.
Listen. We'll see changes now.
That Jesuit, we let that Jesuit have two terms, and I'm talking about Michael Nutass. Michael Nutass, he's a Jesuit. He went to St. Joe's Prep.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch ass. Anyway, yeah. All right. So while you were talking, I took the liberty of looking up 7 qualities of a true loyal employee. I plugged in job loyalty, and I wanted to see what we would get. I wanted to see if job loyalty is what the job shows us or what we show the job.
Oh, well, this is interesting.
Yeah, now this is a LinkedIn article. 7 qualities of a true loyal employee. Number 1, the employee who has been with you for 10 years and in that time has learned to do just enough to fly unseen under the performance issues radar. Or number 2, the employee who has been with you for 18 months and believes in where you're going, how you want to get there, improves it every day by her actions. How come it don't say by his action? Okay. Of course, experience is important, but given the choice, I'll take the employee behind door number 2 every time. Let's see what we're doing here. All right. Okay. Wait. No. I'm sorry. I wasn't even on the list yet. This was in the intro. Okay. True loyal employee are not just committed to helping their company succeed. Their loyalty is also displayed in other ways, some of them surprising. All right, let's check it out. Number 1, they display loyalty through integrity, Many people assume loyalty is proven through obedience, often unthinking and unquestioning, even when a request of directive falls into a gray area or worse, is unethical or illegal. An employee who is consistently seeks to do the right thing is not just following a personal credo. She's looking out for your long-term interest. You may see her as disloyal today, but in time you'll realize that she displayed the highest form of loyalty by helping you avoid missing the do the right thing forest for the do it now trees. Okay. Number two, I'm not going to read all of these descriptions. Fuck all that. Number two, they generate discussions others will not. Number three, they praise their peers. Number four, they dissent and disagree. Really? Number five, they support in public. Number six, they tell you what you least want to hear. And number seven, they leave when they need to leave. It's an interesting article. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna paste this in the comments, and y'all can look at it in your leisure and tell me what you think. Because the descriptions are pretty interesting to me.
Will this link come through the phone?
Yeah, I'm going to post it right here on the phone.
Okay.
But for now, if you go to YouTube, it's a live link in the comments. Live link, no cutting and pasting. Well, no copying. But we just basically kicking around some real time, real life examples of when loyalty goes bad or goes wrong, or when faithfulness is not the best choice, or when exclusivity may come under intense scrutiny and you may need to take some other options into consideration. Yeah, when people know that you don't have any other options, you know, you hear people get on their high horse all the time and say shit like, you need me. I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
You wasn't shit before I came along. People are quick to tell you what you can't do without them. Quick, they'll let you know.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was nodding my head and while you were talking, I was saying, unfortunately, and I've said this before when I've called in before, you know, usually when I call and I'm really only talking about, you know, one of three people. But, you know, I've been in a position where I was with somebody and, they were my one and only and I wasn't theirs. And I stuck around anyway, waiting for it to get better, you know, and they just had this idea like, well, you're not going anywhere anyway, so I can just do whatever I want. So eventually, you know, I had to get a damn clue and be like deuces. But it's definitely not a good situation. So I've been on both sides of the coin as far as the whole one and only thing.
That's the worst part of it as far as I'm concerned. When somebody has basically what you just described, that's the worst part of it. That's the worst part of this whole phenomenon that we're talking about. When somebody looks at it like that, like they're basically saying, well, what you going to do? You ain't going to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to stop doing nothing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, you can't beat me.
Yep. He actually said, oh, I didn't think you would actually ever really leave. He actually said it, like, out of his mouth.
Hmm.
It was like, surprise, motherfucker. But, you know, when it happened, so I wasn't nasty about it when I decided to leave. He didn't respond very well to me leaving, and I was like, I don't get it, you know. I was exclusive to you. You weren't exclusive to me, but, you know, your ego now is feeling some kind of way that this person who you knew for a fact, you know, just doted on everything that was you, is gone, and now you have a problem with it. I really didn't think you would ever leave.
Mm-hmm. Yipper. And that is the crux of the real problem here. You know, good people granting privileges to bad people with the expectations that bad people will improve, and they just don't do it. You'll be waiting a lifetime waiting for motherfuckers to grow a conscience. It's not for them. And they never will grow a conscience, by the way. What will happen is they will have to change because of circumstances. Whatever they're doing will stop working at some point. But it won't be because they have gotten an epiphany that they have been doing wrong. As long as it keeps working in some capacity, they will continue to be the type of person and do the type of things that they are doing. But you can change yourself. And so hopefully in changing yourself, more than likely, the energy that you emit will attract a different type of individual that you will learn more from, and hopefully the things that you learn from this new person will be more to your benefit. But God forbid it should ever turn you into that person that you had to switch out from. Listen, I want to
thank never.
That's what's up. I want to thank you for calling in. I really, really, really appreciate you calling in this morning. I want you to have a great day. Extremely
you too,
wonderful.
Thank you.
All right, you take care.
All right, bye. You too.
All right. All right, so we have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious October 10th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-F. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T-A-R-S-P-E-C-I-A-F. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T-A-R-S-P-E-C-I-A-F. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Juna Deschel. Happy birthday to you. And also Ava Foster. Happy birthday to you. And Tanya Banks, turning 57 years old today. Happy birthday to you. And Love, Pray, Peace Project, turning 39 years old today. And Lucy Manjuri, turning 35 years old today. And Luce Bernardino, happy birthday to you. And let me see. This is an African name. NCDB. El Banga, turning 116. No way, but I understand. And Natalia Perez, turning 45 years old. Bow, 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 bow. And Vumani Lenyama, happy birthday to you. And Maddie Thompson, happy birthday to you. And Chad Williams, happy birthday to you. And my man, comedian Harley Brunson, happy birthday to you, turning 56 years old, and Maria Graves, turning 58 years old, and last but not least, James Cook, happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious October 10th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on into the damn, rock out. Rock on into the damn, rock out. Rock on into the damn thing. You do your thing. Y'all represent the queens and kings. You do your thing. Y'all represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, listen, you can be loyal, you can be faithful, and you can grant exclusivity, and make them your number one. You just make sure that when you make somebody your number one and only, make sure that they are worthy. Make sure that they deserve it. Make sure that they're not going to make a fool of you, try to jerk you around and make you feel bad about the good thing that you have done for them and to them. You ain't got to be a sucker. And good deeds should never come across as being suckered. And most importantly, don't become them. What they're doing works for them, but that's only because they believe in what they're doing. It won't work for you because that ain't you. That ain't you. Always be yourself. Be you. Grits and Wavy, Wavy and Grits, thanks for coming on through your nose. That's you. And Stacey White, thanks for passing on by. Glad to see you. Hi. I'll see y'all all tomorrow, 7 p.m. for the Daily Go Get a Mism Show. I want to thank y'all for coming through. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love you right back to life. Ah, it's so true. So Blog Talk, we going to get you out of there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.